Blog Talk Radio.
With you, paying homage to a fallen jazz artist, one of the great artists, one of my favorite artists, Joe Sample. We'll be playing his music during our break, paying homage to Joe Sample on this episode of the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We have a lot to cover in sports. There's a lot of things happening. I got Black Thor on the air. I got Ice Water on the air. We're going to be talking about a lot of sports. You can call in to join us if you have any questions or comments at 914-219-0880. That's 914-219-0880. How you doing, fellas?
Doing good.
Good, good.
All right. We're not going to get to the NFL and our picks yet because we all took a beating last week. we all ended up 8-8, and I thought I was going to take the worst beating. But I'm holding on. We all took a beating. I was sitting, especially Sunday night, with my mouth wide open trying to figure out how the Bears beat San Francisco. But we'll talk about that later because I know Ice Water. He tries to get to me because I did not text him like I usually text him. But
Where's my text, brother?
Yeah. Monday morning, I get a text. Where's my Chicago text? I'm like, okay, all right. I deserve that. All right. Well, let's jump right into it. Let's talk a little bit about Ray Rice. There's some new developments happening with Ray Rice. I'm going to start with Ice Water to get your thoughts about some new developments with Ray Rice. I saw this coming where he was going to appeal, and as soon as they suspended him again after they came out with the ruling and after they saw the videotape. But what's your thoughts, Ice Water, on this?
Well, I think we're watching the NFL kind of try to rally the troops, corral everybody in, if you will. I think that they made they realized they made some major mistakes in how they handled a lot of stuff that's going on, particularly in this type of situation. And now, if you notice, a lot of the players that have done other things as well actually have been suspended, if you will, indefinitely. That's kind of the route that they're going right now. And I think that they're trying to get all the ducks in order so they can say, well, we messed up the first time, but here we are. It's really, again, it comes back to the whole point of covering the shield. And unfortunately, somebody, not to say that he definitely did not do anything wrong, but Ray Rice might be shafted a little bit. I mean, what he did was wrong. But we'd like to see some consistency in what a league like the NFL does. But when it comes to an organization or association, like I tell my brother all the time, they get do-overs because they're the ones that write the rules. So they're going to try to do what they can so everybody will feel good about themselves. And all I can say right now in that Ray Rice situation, the saga continues.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Black Thor, what's your thought?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember you saying that, and it's real interesting because I think he has a good shot. He should have a good shot of getting reduced. Now, will it happen? I'm not sure, but he has a point. It's hard to believe that. I thought he probably didn't really say to the commissioner, here's what happened with his wife sitting there. But even beyond if he didn't or he did or if he didn't, it was their responsibility to investigate and punish him right the first time, and they chose not to. So due to public opinion or reaction, to come back and suspend him indefinitely, you might have to kind of pull the plug on that one and pull back some games. But the problem for Ray Rice, so much damage that has been done to him and his name, even let's just say they pull back and give him a 10 game suspension or whatever the case may be, who's going to sign him at this point? Within the next year or two, who's going to really step out on the limb? What team is going to basically step out and say, yeah, Ray Rice, come play for us? And that's going to be the problem is that he's been hit so hard, not saying he shouldn't have been. He's been hit so hard, where is he going to land? Who's going to open the door and say, yeah, Ray Rice, come run for us?
Yeah. I kind of see that the NFL union is in a tight spot here, too, because Ray Rice is appealing, and he has a right to appeal because it's almost as if he was punished twice for the same crime. I said last week that the NFL knew what happened in that elevator and they saw and they got all that evidence. Whether or not they saw it or not, that's not on Ray Rice. That was on them. And when it came out again, they were doing damage control. Just like you said, Icewater, they're doing damage control. But I believe Ray Rice will get back on the field this season because you can't reprimand him or punish him two games and then say you're going to come back in two games and then write another rule the following week, and then punish him again for the same crime. You can't do that. So I think he's going to get right back on the field. It's going to be a uphill battle for him on the field playing with all the attention that this case has received. But I think the unions are going to have to represent him in that light that you can't punish him twice for the same incident. And so that puts them in a tight spot because it winds up that they have to defend Ray Rice where the NFL is trying to protect their shield, so to speak.
Can I interject something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say real quick, I mean, I understand what you're just saying there, but in a way I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit because I think that when that second tape came out, yeah, people running for the exits. It's almost as if a fire was taking place. And so many people were horrified. As you mentioned, if the NFL did see it, it's a major problem. And they might have. But so many people, when other people in the public saw that, they were so horrified that I think it would be very difficult for him to play again this year. Because as Thor mentioned, the damage has been done, and how can you let him back on the field? How can you, like, ask my question, how can he get back on the field because people don't want to see him? Is it really his fault to be punished twice, like you said? Not certain. But, I mean, his name is mud.
Yeah.
Who could he play for?
Yeah, what team is going to go out on the limb? I mean, other than the Ravens, and they don't want nothing to do with him, what team really is going to feel for him enough, for his talent, just his talent, is going to take on that loss because whatever team, if he does sign with a team, let's just say he came back week 12, just say hypothetically, what team is going to take on that slot of, you know, of attention and protest and that glare of media just to bring, let him run the football? I don't see it. I mean, I think he would need a cooling off period for at least for a year. I mean, let's just say he couldn't play. He probably have to be away for about a year to where we all dies, and it's not dies down for a team to consider giving him a shot. I just don't see it. I don't really see it.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but legally he has a case. He has a case to get paid.
He has a case to get paid.
Even if he doesn't make it on the field, he has a case to be paid because in his eyes and probably his attorney's eyes, I have fulfilled my 2-game suspension per the original punishment. This came after I had explained everything to the commissioner. I told him what I did. He saw the tape and then decided to punish me again. So legally, he's on the right.
Here's the deal, though, Puma. You got to realize, before the commissioner suspended him indefinitely, the Ravens released him. They released him. So my point is, he has a right to fight to get back and get back into the league. He's not doing any money. He's not, because the Ravens released him. I mean, they released him to the point where anyone else at that point could have signed him before he got, you know, suspended indefinitely. So let's just say, he comes back game 12. Who's going to pay him? I mean, really, who's going to stick out there and go, okay, yeah, I'll take a shot at him for a couple of games? Because if the Ravens who's going to pay him? Who? Where's the money going to come from?
I agree with both of you. I do not disagree with both of you. But I feel that he has a case where he can say, if nobody else picks me up, I still have a right to this money because I was punished twice for one crime.
One last thing. Can I just say this? I'll say this to you.
Sure.
And I think this is what people, and I might be wrong, but I've been watching, been dealing with this thing for a long time. Let me just say this, that from a legal standpoint, I agree with you. He might have something to stand on, but I always believe that when it comes to associations and the difference between associations and regular legal regular companies under the legal standpoint, there's a difference. And I think that some people found that out when they said that they thought that Donald Sterling would be able to keep the Clippers. These organizations like the NFL, the NBA, and it depends on the legal aspect of it, too. They make their own rules. Now, how far that goes, I'm not sure. But you just watch what I'm saying, because they have enough money, they have enough ties. A lot of things go on, and they write their own rules. It's not too many times where you see that one person can take a league down. Also, the player, it'll be very interesting to see what the player association does, how they really represent him. Do they go all out for him? Or do they pull back a little bit, too, because of what has happened? I guess what I'm saying is, I think back always to the day of baseball with Curt Flood. Curt Flood did nothing wrong. He did the right thing of just saying, I want the opportunity to be a free agent and kind of do things on my own within the guidelines and the rules. But, again, the association came at him, and he never got back in baseball, and he got penalized because, again, and I hate to keep using the word the shield, but that's the thing that comes to my mind. Like the shield is covered in football, I think this the shield will be covered here again. I'm not certain, but it'll be interesting to see how things play out. That's all I want to say.
Yeah. This is a story that's not going to go away. I think he's going to take it through the court. But now he's fighting for his livelihood, and he's fighting for his finances now, because he probably pretty much knows that, hey, I'm not going to be able to play in the NFL and have a good name playing in the NFL. So I could see him and his attorneys getting together and say, hey, we got to salvage some kind of way where you get paid from this because you were done wrong in some kind of way. So I wouldn't be surprised if he steps back on the football field, and I wouldn't be surprised if they work out some agreement where he gets paid part of his salary because of being penalized twice for the same incident. I wouldn't be surprised at this particular point.
I don't think, my personal opinion, he's not playing this year. He's not. He might win some things in a grievance, he might win some things, but he's not, in my personal opinion, he's not legally entitled to any form of payment. Because here again, the Ravens, he probably broke the code of conduct in his contract with the Ravens when they saw that film. So they decided to release him. Therefore, he's not entitled to anything at that point, as far as monetarily. Okay. And now his point with the NFL, he does have a beef with them to say, okay, you can't suspend me twice. And all they can really do at that point is allow him to be available to other teams to basically say, okay, we'll take you. But that's where, again, when I come in, and I think that may get worked out. It may take about 6 weeks. That may get worked out when things kind of die down a little bit. But I here's the point where I really agree with him. Of the association of all owners, what owner do you think is going to allow his general manager to say, yeah, go take a look at him, bring him in? That's when they're going to, that's when they're really going to bond together and block him out, because they're not, no one's going to stand apart from those owners, I seriously doubt it, and step out and give him an opportunity. I just don't see it. That's the point where he's going to lose out, because there's going to be so much damage done. That videotape, his actions within that videotape has done so much damage. I mean, he has so much of an outcry. Who's going to step out and just say, yeah, okay, come back? Not in a year's time, I don't see it. It took Mike Vick a couple of years, a year or two. Because when Mike Vick went to jail, that time in jail helped a lot. It may not have seemed like it, but it helped it die down. You see how people are still against him, but it kind of took it off the front, back page, and out of the newspaper. So when he came out, he was able to kind of, you know, weed his way back in with help of Tony Dungy and other people, and the Eagles gave him an opportunity. But right now, let's just say week 12, they say, Rice, you can play. What team is going to step out there, especially if you're trying to make a playoff run, and bring that all to your team? I can't see it happening. I just don't see it. For him, I don't see it. Possibly next year, maybe, but not this year. He's done for the year. I believe he's done.
Okay. Well, the saga continues, as Icewater said. Let's go to Adrian Peterson. Now, this story is a story that just keeps unraveling. They have some new allegations of child abuse regarding Adrian Peterson. And he was, I believe, reinstated to play against the New Orleans Saints. You have the governor of that particular state saying that he doesn't think this is a good idea. I'm going to go to Black Thor. What do you think about this particular situation with Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, I kind of agree with the governor on that one. I know he said it, but I find it interesting. I kind of applaud them when they kind of stepped up initially and said, you know, deactivate him for the game this past weekend. Because I first heard the story, I thought, when I first read the story, I thought, okay, the man just beat his child. What's the big deal? When you hear about how he did it, the bruises, the whelps, and everything else, no, you can't deactivate him for one game. You lose. You lose, and then, okay, come on, Adrian, we didn't do that well without you, come back and play. There made no sense to deactivate him. I mean, if you're going to do that, you have to set him down for a period of time. You can't throw him back out on the field now. I mean, today I have yet to watch the videotape of Ray Rice punching his fiance at the time.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, I chose not. I have it. I can look at it, but I still haven't looked at it. But in a sense to me, the mentality of Adrian Peterson, the way he's beating his kids, his two kids, those two boys, there's something wrong with that rascal, man. There's something mentally gone. For you to actually beat your child to the point he has welts on his and all over his body at 4-year-old, 4 years old now. I mean, you can spank a 4-year-old. I'm not against spanking. Trust me. There's a difference between welts and spanking. And then literally think it's okay to send him home to Minnesota. You really think in your head, it's okay to send him home this way? There's something wrong. I don't care how many yards he gets you. I don't care what he does. That's something in this society that cannot be overlooked. I don't care what he does. I just don't care. So I agree. I mean, you can't deactivate him one game. I mean, you took the harsh stance to take him out of the game. You lost the game, so what? And it wasn't because of him you lost the game. That was because that quarterback, for some reason, you decided to put on the field that has been stealing money ever since he played that one season with the Patriots. It wasn't because Peterson didn't play. But I agree. I mean, you just that, I don't get that. How you all of a sudden now you bring him back? What are you saying? I mean, you allow him a chance to go down and get fingerprinted, and now he has taken care of that. He can come back and play. I don't agree with that at all.
All right, ice water.
You know, I've been watching and reading, and I've heard so many things, even from the whole blow-up of Chris Carter, which I thought was a little absurd about that.
Oh, my God.
Way Carter called his mom out. I mean, it is what it is. All I'm saying is, particularly with Adrian Peterson, I think his behavior is a learned behavior. I don't agree with it. I kind of dealt with some things along with that, because that's how things are done to a point. But I don't think the point of breaking the skin and having a child bleed and whipping them so much is the biggest thing. I'm not so much really into the switch thing either, but I do agree with Thor that, I mean, there should be some discipline because, you know, that I'm not going as far as to say, you know, that timeout, Johnny, go over to the corner for 30 seconds and come back and get it together. No, that doesn't always work. So I'm not saying that you have to really bruise a kid or break the skin or make them bleed to the point of discipline, but I still think discipline is necessary in some cases, and so that includes some spanking. That depends upon the individual. But I think that, as he mentioned, Adrian Peterson needs some help. He needs to understand about parenting. The Chris Carter thing just blew me away because, you know, he was mad at something that happened, and he was telling, and then he went on further to talk about the Ray Lewis case, which is a whole different thing, too, when he called him out. My thing is, though, why Chris Carter kept saying, take him off the field, take him off the field. I understand that. I agree with that. But my problem is, though, now he's this brand-new savior coming out, doing righting all the wrongs. And if these same rules would have been in place when he was playing, he may not have gotten the second and third chances that he received when he did his dirt. So I'm a little concerned with all these righteous people coming out saying whatever. But getting back to the point, I think he should be taken off the field. I will agree with that. And they need to figure this out. But I think they also need to really help the guy. And I'm not saying they didn't do anything wrong, but I go back to the whole point about a learned behavior. I mean, if you watch people do certain things or you think that's the only way that you can get a child to react, then that's what people do. You have to approach the situation and see if you can help the person. It doesn't mean that they're not wrong for what they did, but I mean, I'm sure that's the way he was whipped and treated when he was a child.
Yeah, I'm clapping because I give Chris Carter an Emmy. That's what he was shooting for. Please give it to him. Give him an Emmy for his performance. I'm clapping. Strange, go on, girl. You deserve an Emmy for that. That was uncalled for. Make your point, but you don't have to put on a performance on TV. Right. I know maybe ESPN is not in the top three in the ratings in the NFL on the pregame, but come on, man. Quit trying to put a performance on to get more play and get more hits on YouTube. I think all of us here have been spanked in our lifetime. I know I have. I was kidding with some people that, you know, I used to get whippings in trilogies. It was, and me and Black Thor are related, so he can identify with this, where your grandma would call, and she would either take care of you there, or your mom or dad would take care of you there. They take care of you on the way home in the car, and then maybe in the middle of the night they sneak and get you. When you forgot, they come and get you again. You know, and I'm a parent, and I rarely spank. And one of the things I learned is that you don't need that all the time, and that you evolve over time. And I understand culturally that's where we are sometimes as a people, African Americans, where we feel that we need to spank. To get a point across, where other cultures will do other things. But I think it does come to – I will agree with Chris Carter on this, that we got to come up with some newer ways to handle the situation, minus the dramatics that he was putting into it. But I've learned over the years that when I thought about it, when I was spanked as a child, there's probably only one or two times I remember why I got a spanking, and those were the doobies. Those were the big mess-ups that you made. But the rest of the time, I did not remember. And when I became a parent, I remembered that, okay, it's not all about, you know, the spanking. It's not all about the physical. It's about really trying to guide and teach instead of punish. And so a four-year-old, and I work in a line of work where we do deal with a lot of these cases. A four-year-old, there are other ways that you can do this. And I agree with you, Icewater, that he needs some help. Maybe he's under a lot of stress. He lost a child last year. He needs some help. And so instead of,
I'm sorry to interrupt, I agree he might need some help. But here's the thing that bothers me about our athletes. And you know what I mean? I say our athletes. They're making money that we can't even dream of. And there's no way in society that, I mean, anything you want to learn today, parenting, anything you need to learn. I understand it could be a cultural thing. You grew up this way, whatever the case may be. You experienced it. But you got to learn to better yourself, other than just what you do for your living. And that's what amazed me about our athletes. They don't take a stance to better themselves in anything other than what they do. And I say that meaning that if he lost a child, To a knucklehead doing something, you say, how do you turn around and take the rest of your kids? To me, it will make you be more compassionate to the kids that you have. So it's like you lost a child to that, and then you step up and do the same exact thing. At some point, you got to learn to do better. You got to learn to do better and be better. I mean, maybe his father did that to him or his grandmother. I get that. But my point is just like, they just never take the time. And I'm part of it is you. I get that. But I'm sorry, there's more than just making millions. You got to better yourself as a man. A man. And, I mean, I can't even imagine a grown man when I was younger. I have a daughter. That's when I had her when I was young. I couldn't imagine at that age, at his age, bruising her to the point of that point and thinking it's okay and then sending her back home. I'm serious. And I mean, I'm sorry, I don't make that type of money, but it's just something inside me. And like you said, we got beat basically because many times at church, my mother would take me in the back and wear me out. Now, I don't have to try to remember what it's for. I still remember that happening. But my point is, when I became a young father, I knew that I couldn't, you know what I mean, that I couldn't put that upon her. And that's what I'm trying to say. A lot of times, and this is what gets me sometimes, and I agree the fact that he's helped, but we find and make excuses when we do some dumb stuff. And that bothers me because we like them as our athletes. You know, we make excuses they need help. And I'm not saying he doesn't, but you got to be more than just a person that picks up a ball for $1 million. And there's got to be some well-roundness, these individuals. I'm sorry. Same thing with the brother. I know I'm getting on being here. Same thing with the brother, Ray McDonald. I don't know what went on at that party, but your girlfriend's pregnant, bro. Pregnant. I mean, what point in your head, which I don't care what she's saying or doing, what point in your head is a man if you say, you know what, she's pregnant?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
You know what? I mean,
they make good money. They make good money, but that doesn't make them perfect people. So they still have their flaws with that money, and sometimes those flaws come out more when you have more money.
I agree
with that. If I can just say real quick, you know, I guess when I said it needs help, it's not really an excuse for me. I think I would say that from anyone. But I would say this, though, that and I agree with Puma, that, you know, we put these athletes on such a pedestal because they can run, jump, and do these great things athletically. But that doesn't make them great people. And that doesn't mean they had a solid background. And we need to continue to realize that. That just because you can dunk a basketball doesn't mean you know how to treat a woman. Doesn't mean you know how to take care of a family. Doesn't mean that you have the ethics, what it takes to be a good person. But a lot of times we kind of bring the two together. Like, you're supposed to equal because you have money. You're supposed to be, as you mentioned, a great person. But we're finding out more and more that even from a political standpoint and other venues, that is not the case. And we need to, as people, wake up and see these individuals who have this money really who they are.
Okay. All right. So, this story is going to keep coming out because there's some new allegations coming out. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be probably on our topics next week. I was wrong last week about my prediction on the Mayweather fight, so I'm going to take my lumps with that. But we got Django who just joined us. What's up, bro?
Don't tell me.
What's up, gentlemen? How you all, man?
Good, man. I'm manning up to admit it. I went out on a limb, and I predicted an upset. I should have stayed with my first mind, but anyway.
I just wanted to comment on the subject that you all kind of chimed in on I think that the things we need to factor in is just like you're saying, money doesn't make the person. All the money does is further enhance whatever flaws you have. Because when you say do better, you're talking to a man or you're talking to a person who says do better than what? Because I'm one of the few millionaires as opposed to the average, average population. And it was based on this premise of how I got where I am. I heard Andrew Peterson say how he was raised, and that's how he was disciplined. And if you go back and if you look at how it all started, we go back and we talk about, it was based on, us being descendants of slaves, and slaves were whooped, and that was the way. So it was actually, trickled down to us, and that's what we associate discipline with. But it's also, you need that discipline to some level because back then there was a lot that sat in the balance. You had a society that was ready to pick us off, just based on the fact that you're black and in the wrong spot, sitting in the wrong seat, or using the wrong bathroom, or restroom, or something of that nature. So they went over the top to kind of keep you in check and in line for your own overall safety. That's what they started to believe. Now, with all that being said, if you look at today's society now, I think there's a lack of that in our society. I really do. I really think it's a lack of that. I think that's the problem we have with our youth today is that there isn't any, there's a lot of things, but I think discipline and respect is the two things that I think is lacking. I say respect for your elders and the discipline associated with that. I just think that those are the things that's lacking in our society, and I think, was it excessive? I agree. Yeah, it was. But I also say that the media has a way of setting precedence on things. Now, and I'm about to sum it up. And like I said before, they're very powerful. Because you take the same society where you had a police officer, choke a man out on the sidewalk, choke him out to his death. And I don't hear a lot of people in outrage and multiple footage about that over and over again about that. But at the same time, the same society feels like this man should be crucified, the one that was the brothers he's crucified for him and his lady having an argument. He hit her in the elevator. I'm not saying it was right. I'm saying, see how things are being depicted and how what light they put stuff in and how we view things as opposed to those things? The kid gets shot in Ferguson, but I'm saying you don't hear, that the your community is an outrage, but as a nation, no. You don't hear people talking about those officers losing their jobs and they should be stricken and what are they representing and they should be wanting better lives and all that good stuff. You don't see that.
Right.
So it's a double standard. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, and to finish your point, guess what the number one profession in domestic violence or perpetrators of domestic violence is? Police officers. So, on that note, let's take a break. we're going to be paying tribute to Joe Sample, great jazz artist, one of my favorite jazz artists of all time, passed away this week, did a show Sunday with all of his music, and we're going to be playing his music during the break. Be right back.
Girls falling from the sky. in a dense rainforest heat. Somehow I landed on my feet with the will to survive. And in the heart of darkness, without a chance of rescue, I never quit, I just refuse. I thought of you. Somehow I knew I'd find you. Following my heart's compass, that your love, your love was leading me back to you.
Follow us on Twitter at the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show, and on Facebook at the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We're going to be talking about the fight that took place last Saturday. Once again, I took a lot of lumps in the NFL and in pro boxing. I predicted that Mayweather would be an upset, and it wasn't even close. And so I'm going to go with Ice Water, our expert in boxing. What happened, man?
Nothing happened. He was who we thought he was. As somebody like to quote somebody.
Yeah, I like that.
Mayweather's been in this game for a long time, and 18 years plus. He knows how to win. He's not going to excite you a lot of times. He's not going to get a knockout, but he knows how to win. And that's what makes him special, why it makes people upset and angry, because they want to see more exciting fights. At the end of the day, his job is to come out the victor. And he knows how to do that by dissecting, if you will, his opponents. And it's not always pretty. He uses everything to his advantage in the ring. And that's what he does. He wins. And he's been doing it for 18 years or plus, 47-0. And in a nutshell, that's pretty much it. And just ready, get ready for that next check, probably that big check next week. So we'll see. That's all I had to say.
Okay. I'm coming back to you. Django. Django. I see you shadow boxing over there. Okay.
I like the man said that, and that's all I have to say.
Drop the mic. Okay, but who's out there? Django, who do you think is next? Who do you think is out there to fight Mayweather?
I don't see anybody that's going to be able to beat Mayweather unless Mayweather. All that is going to bring Mayweather down right now is if he gets in a scandal, some scandal about a white girl. And I think
you mean white girl, aka Justin Bieber?
I'm just saying, man. Hey. Hey, I'm trying to think that whoever it is, man, I'm trying to tell you, hey, I don't think there's anybody out there, to be honest. I think that's just indicative of the quality of the sport right now. I think that, I don't think it's going to happen, man. And I think he's going to continue to fight. But like I said, I said a week back or a month or back, I just hate to see someone's legacy be based on how the 11, 12 hours of the career. I like to see him just walk away on top, unquestioned. There is no question and be done with it. But unfortunately, I don't see him doing that. I think he's going to continue to do and fight until he gets to a point where his skills are going to be somewhat diminished and someone's going to drop him. And then at that point, people are going to forget a little bit about who Mayweather, how great he was. That's what I think.
So you think he's going to fight beyond after he gets the record, Rocky Marciano's record, after 50?
I think he will, because I think what's going to happen is, we creatures of habit, man. And again, it's a very ego-driven, that is one of the most ego-driven for a male sports you can have is boxing. And I really think that that's going to drive him to think that I still got skills, I still do this. And I think he's going to push it until he's going to get knocked out at some point.
Okay, Black Thor, what's your thought?
Yeah, I don't think there's much out there for him either, and I do think his ego's going to keep him fighting. I'm not sure he's going to get knocked out, though. I think there might be a fight or two where he looks real bad, knocked out, I'm not sure, but I do think that he's not ready to stop anytime soon. He's not ready, and why would he? I mean, the money keeps pouring in. His ego keeps getting stroked. He's going to be around for a while. He'll be around for quite a while.
Hey, that's what I'm trying to say. The reason why I say I think he's going to get knocked out is because of his style, his style in the ring. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of Roy Jones, where he's so quick and he's so fleet of foot to you don't realize that you're starting to lose a step. Your reaction ain't the same as it used to be. And so you're going to come out there with, like I said, creature of habit, and you're going to stick your face, your chin out there and try to do your little thing, and someone's going to catch you. That's what I think. Ain't like he takes a lot of, you got to remember now, ain't like he takes a lot of punches and able to stay on his feet. He avoids a lot of punches based on his quickness mm-hmm. he's using right now.
Ice Water, is there anybody out there he can fight?
I mean, it's about the money now, let's be real. I'm not sure if anybody would give him a fight. They talk about Amir Khan. He's quick, but Khan showed that.
No, I was just saying,
he just doesn't have the power, and he doesn't have the know-how that Mayweather does to beat him. But let's be real. At the end of the day, the only thing people want to see, and now since nobody's really out there, it's about the money. It's Pacquiao. Is it going to be a great fight? We're not sure, but it is about the money. They're going to get that money, $200-plus. Go for the money. Why not?
So does Pacquiao need Mayweather, or Mayweather needs Pacquiao now?
Pacquiao needs Mayweather. Mayweather made $32 million for his fight nobody wants to see. People pay $75 to watch the fight. I usually go to Vegas. I made sure I told my brother we will not be making that trip for the rematch. There's other things to do in life. I mean, people say they don't want to see it, but they pay $75 for it, for HD.
Right.
My buddy called me and said, you're going to get the fight? I said, are you crazy? I'm not paying $75. And I enjoy watching these fight. I'm going to have to get a bootleg or go to a fight party or something. I'm not watching $75. I'm just saying. I'm not. Not against a rematch. I mean, Pacquiao might say, okay, well, maybe he'll show us something differently, but nah. No.
Yeah, Pacquiao. Shout out to the fans. The views of Ice Water does not represent the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
Exactly.
I'm telling you the truth. I know. If I get the mail, whatever, so be it. But I'm telling you,
I know.
I think people got a party for $75 together. That's how they did back in the day. I'm not a rich man.
You know what? But you know what
I want to see, but I would be interested in seeing. And I know he's a knucklehead. But I would like to see him fight Timothy Bradley. Nobody really talks about Timothy Bradley. I would like to see Mayweather fight Timothy Bradley.
Let it go, bro. Let it go, dog.
Let it go.
I would want to see that. He's got three more fights to 50.
Let it go.
Why?
He's three more fights to 50. Why not?
Why?
I just want to see Timothy Bradley and how their styles would really kind of make this fight. So I know Timothy Bradley's a knucklehead. I know Timothy Bradley's like the Evander Holyfield of his division. Once he gets hit, the game plan just goes out right out the window. But I would like to see Timothy Bradley. I would rather see Timothy Bradley fight him than Amir Khan, because Amir Khan is just a wimp. I mean, he has no game.
I agree with that. I guess my only question to that is right now, just sitting down and how Mayweather does it, we know that it's about the money. We know it's about the money. So Timothy Bradley can't beat Pacquiao or didn't beat Pacquiao. He really didn't win both a fight, but they gave them to him. That's just my opinion. But what's the value of fighting Timothy Bradley? I think he has to fight somebody and beat somebody again. I mean, to me, the only fight is real fight, and everybody wants to see it, even though it's 19 years too late. It's Pacquiao. That's what people want to see.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so who are the other two people we going to fight? He fights Pacquiao. Who are the other 250 he going to fight to get? I mean, other two fighters he going to fight to get to 50?
I think the way it comes down, the way they're looking at it, he might fight Khan and Pacquiao. He can't get the Pacquiao fight together. He'll fight Khan kind of like just to throw it in there, and then he'll fight Pacquiao. And then if it's good enough or not, then he'll do a rematch with Pacquiao to break 50. It's 50, the 50 mark.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
that's a speculation.
Okay. Well, we'll see about that. We'll see. Let's go to the NFL. I know you're biting at the chance to get to me about the NFL and the Chicago Bears. But I threw an article in, and I texted Black Thor during the Bears and San Francisco game, is that San Francisco had 16 penalties in that game. And it just seemed like every third down, there was a penalty to march the Bears back down the field in the second half. Now, I'm not hating on the Bears. Well, yeah, I am. But it just seemed, I've seen that in too many games this season where teams aren't really kind of earning their way down the field. It's on penalties. It's on late hits. It's on all this stuff. And some of these calls are just very bogus. So I'm going to go to Black Thor. Give me your eye test, what you saw in the NFL this week. Any comments or what games stood out to you?
You know, it's funny that Chicago Bear game, I got to admit, I turned that off right after halftime thinking it was over. I thought that game was over. I went to sleep. So when I woke up in the morning and realized that Chicago won, I was like, wow, I had to rush to the highlights to really see what happened because I just didn't think that offense was going to come back and do anything. So I must admit, I'm impressed that Chicago took it to San Fran in the fourth quarter and got a win. But, yeah, some of these games are getting a little tough to watch with some of these penalties because it's like every play, and you have to point out, every play you're waiting for a flag to be thrown. If it's a good play, you're just waiting for a flag somewhere. Somebody done put his hand to the face, somebody did something. It's like it's really starting to take away from the play just a little bit because it's a little too much. Even like last night, the game last night, every time you turn around, it's a flag, it's a flag, it's a flag. And you're right, there's some teams, speaking of which, the Giants, even at the first drive they scored on, they got aided with penalties going down the field. And it's starting to happen now. If they're not even meticulously driving down the field, flag is helping go down the field. So, yeah, some of these penalties. And I thought they were going to pull back a little bit. Now, last week looked like they did, but week two, the flags are out big time. They're throwing them. But there's some teams, man, that surprised me because New Orleans just can't get it together. Denver didn't look that good against Kansas City. So and look at Seattle. Seattle, my goodness, man. They left home, and San Diego took it to them. And I was waiting for somebody to actually take it to Sherman, and they decided to. And they show, to me, it reminds me a little bit of Deion Sanders. He can cover you. But if it comes down, you have to force him to tackle you. He ain't gonna make the tackle. He's always going to do the hit, and then he'll fall on you. He's not a tackler. But, yeah, it's starting to get good. It's starting to get good. So if they could pull back some of the flags and just let them play a little bit, it'd be even better.
Okay. Django, what's your eye test? What did you see last week? What stood out to you? What games? What teams?
Well, I think comment on the last game that my man just discussed was Seattle and San Diego. I think there's some key factors, you know, there. I think, you know, obviously San Diego came out and played a good game, but I think that Seattle wasn't ready for that temperature that they had to face out there. I don't think they were ready for that. I think that the thing that I noticed, and I want you all to pay attention to this one because this always is a pain point for me. You know, I think the fundamentals of the sport are being lost in the business strategy for the sport. So what I'm talking about is every time I know they've done a trend analysis, and I may have said this before in previous discussions we've had. Every time they do a trend analysis, every time they get what they deem as a prolific quarterback, what happens is the offense starts to become the highlight reel. They're looking for the big plays, looking for the exciting and spectacular plays. Well, those exciting and spectacular plays fill the stands. People want to see that, they come out and see it. But it doesn't do anything for you to have a consistent and to stabilize a defense. So in order for you to stabilize a defense, you need to have a respectable running game. And every time I see a team who has a quarterback and has been, their pedigree has been to have a top quarterback in the last few seasons, it's been they have a respectable running game. That's the key. I watched it yesterday. I watched a bunch of games over the weekend. I watched Dallas. I didn't watch them, but I saw the highlights where they had, you know, I think the running back had from like 170 yards. Okay, so they won the game. I saw where That's the problem I think New Orleans is having, where you rely so much on your quarterback and so much of your passing game. When it's not there, you don't have anything to revert back to. Your offensive line is not conditioned, to, in my opinion, to be able to sustain and handle those assignments to make holes for running games. Philadelphia did it yesterday. Philadelphia just ran the ball. And I think that's where the key is. There's a big delta between what you need to do to fill the stands and what people come to see and what's the ratings and how you get on the prime time. That's the business side of the sport. That's the entertainment side. But the fundamentals, you got to stabilize the defense and keep them off balance. And the way you do that is have a respectable running game, and you have an offense that's designed to run the ball and pass the ball, not pass the ball, and then when it's not working, start handing off to the running back.
Yeah.
So that, to me, right. I mean, and just summing up, in combination with the calls, but I also think the teams that you normally see are winning, they were winning based on the fact that you think back because their pedigree was the quarterback's play. Most of it lately. Run the ball.
Okay. Yeah, well, Dallas figured that out this week and beat Tennessee. Okay, Icewater.
Yeah, I won't start on you yet. Just real quick. I think that the league is getting a little closer in the way the competition, and that might have something to do with the flags. I mean, the penalties are just so crazy. It's not football the way that I used to watch football, but when they make changes, then the players have to adjust accordingly. But I am with the same thought that they need to quit calling everything. I mean, it's so tight right now, you don't know what to do. But in regards to the games, I was quite surprised by the way that Carolina's defense was able to kind of bottleneck Detroit's offense. I was surprised by that. And we thought Detroit was going to really run and do some great things, but they kind of got shut down. Also, quite unimpressed with the way that Atlanta played offensively. The Bengals' defense is coming along, but Matt Ryan, you got all your fellas back. I mean, you're supposed to be throwing that ball around, even though they don't have the strongest running game, but just the decisions he was making just didn't make a lot of sense. And I think that team has such a solid offense that he should be doing better than that. They should be performing better as a unit. Was surprised by the Browns. They did their thing. Arizona surprised me, too. I know the Giants have been hurting, but the way just the Arizona, even without Carson Palmer, stepped to the mic and got something done, I was impressed by that. That's why I think things are getting a little bit closer. We had closer games as well. Green Bay had to fight for their life against the Jets, but they got it done. And finally, that Chicago game. I'm watching the game, and I'm going. And then finally I saw Marshall get fired up, and I was like, okay. And then when it started to unravel for San Francisco, all I could do was think about Puma and go, I told you weren't no ties. This offense has enough weapons that they can win a football game. I didn't say they're going to the Super Bowl, but I said do not be surprised if they find a way to outscore people, because even though their quarterback's not the greatest, they do have legitimate weapons at running back, and also at wide receiver, and they have a decent tight end. And if the quarterback just settles down and it's a shootout, they have a chance to win if they play the way that they can. Now, granted, they may not always – next week they might get beat by 46 points. But as long as they keep that offense rolling, I think they're still in the game. And I'm not going to beat you up too bad for them.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I thought that San Francisco did a great job with tying up the Bears running back. I mean, if that was their game plan going in, they did it. And I think they wanted Cutler to throw, because usually Cutler throws one to the other team, one or two picks to the other team. But it just seemed like they started to run down. They had penalties after penalties after penalties in the second half. Even in the Jets and Green Bay game, I thought it was a bogus penalty when the Jets scored, and somebody called a timeout. There was also a penalty in the San Francisco game where they said Kaepernick said a word. And Kaepernick is saying, I didn't say anything, and we got penalized, which could have been a pivotal point of the game. So these penalties, I see it in college, and we're talking about college in a little while. I see it in the NFL. It's like you see these good, solid hits. You see these good plays, and all of a sudden they're getting called back, and it's really making it frustrating to watch the games.
I remember you made the Kaepernick. Dude, they just ran the ball. They just got them boys out in that heat and ran the ball down. I mean, they did. You know, and that's what I was saying, dude. You know, you can wear a team out if you're running the ball as opposed to big plays and your defense is back on the field just like that. So a team can't win if they don't have the football. If you don't have, if you limit their time of possession for the overall game, it's hard for them to score if they don't have the ball.
So I didn't think that it was the – this is what I was seeing in the second half in the Bears game. The Bears were coming downfield, and every third down play for like two or three first downs, there was a penalty on third down that extended the drive. And I'm like, what is going on here? Somebody touched somebody downfield. Somebody did this. Cutler got hit. So they extended, and it pushed them all the way to the 20. I mean,
what do you say? The DB said something about Cutler's mama.
Right. Hey, Puma, I think somebody said it best earlier. Let it go, bro. Let it go.
Yeah.
All right, the haters are here.
You gotta let it go. They stood up.
The haters are here. Okay. All right, I will let it go. You know, nothing I can do about it. But let's go. Let's talk about this coming week. Now, Django didn't give any picks, so you holding up last place. You got an 8-24 record, so you hold up last place. I'm coming up next with 17-15. Oh, he can make a comeback. Ice Water, you're 18-14, and Blackthorn, you are 19-13. So I'm going to we all went 8-8. I mean, we got beat up bad last week. I mean, we really got beat up bad. We got to make a comeback. At least one of us has to make a comeback to look like we know what we're talking about. Okay, so I sent the schedules out. So who would like to go first? Do I give it to Blackthorn again since we all tied again?
So call. Your call.
Okay, Blackthorn. Let's go with your picks this week, man.
I'm starting to understand this why I go first, because what happens by me going first, you can start to pick against me to try to gain some points.
You got me again. You caught the tater.
Blackthorn. Yeah. Association, brother. No. Okay. Well, let's let the
Django go first, since, you know, he hasn't been able to pick on the show. Let the Django go.
I'm still in the good, because see, you don't have anything to base my skills on, because I didn't give you any picks. So I'm still clean, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to tell you. I'm still clean right now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So,
all right, man. So, okay, I'll call them out, and you tell me who you got. Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Tampa Bay, Atlanta.
Atlanta? Okay. San Diego at Buffalo. Huh?
You write mine down?
Yeah, I'm writing it down. I got you.
Okay.
I'm like running numbers over here. San Diego and Buffalo.
Here's what I want you to do. You send me a copy of what you write down. I don't trust you. You might be switching my stuff around on the weekend.
Man, this show is recorded. I cannot lie. This show is recorded. I can't change it. I can't go there and redub the show. So San Diego at Buffalo.
I'm taking San Diego.
Okay. Tennessee at Cincinnati.
Wow. I'm going to take Tennessee.
Tennessee? Okay.
Yeah.
Arrested Development. Okay. Arrested Development.
There you go.
All right. Baltimore at Cleveland.
Baltimore and Cleveland. Oh,
I'm gonna go with at Cleveland.
At Cleveland. The mistake by the lake.
I'm still going with Baltimore.
Okay. Green Bay at Detroit.
Green Bay.
Okay. I know which one you're going with this one. Dallas at St. Louis. I already
St.
wrote
Louis.
It down. Yeah, I wrote St. Louis down. Yeah, real right. Oakland at New England.
New England.
Okay. Minnesota at New Orleans.
I think New Orleans will do, so I'm going to say New Orleans.
Okay. Houston at the Giants.
Houston.
Washington at Philly.
Philly.
All right. Indianapolis at Jacksonville.
Indianapolis.
San Francisco at Arizona.
San Fran.
Kansas City at Miami.
Damn.
You sound like you had a spelling bee. Man, that's a word I didn't study.
Yeah, let me see. Carried in one. dangling participle. I'm gonna go with the God, that's hard. Huh. All right then, man. All right, it's on. I'll take the Chiefs.
Okay. Denver at Seattle. Another hard one.
Dang, that is a hard one right there. I'm going to go with Seattle.
Okay. Pittsburgh at Carolina.
Carolina.
Okay. You can act like I knew. Chicago at the New York Jets.
At the Jets? Are they taking Achilles?
You said what?
Chicago, man. I said, are you taking the chili?
All right. Oh, yeah, man. We're going to go to Black Storm. But I checked out that Black Storm on the Internet, man. I'm going to take a zero on that one. my heart ain't going to be taking that stuff.
Hey, dog.
No.
Hey, dog.
No.
I just picked up 60 for $52, dog.
Do it like my dad. Cut him in half.
Hey, dude, I'm trying to tell you, man, I introduced my boy for his OG, man. He called, man. He gave it all his stuff, and he snapped like he had this weekend.
Okay. My heart ain't busting over that. Okay.
Man.
Thor.
All
right. I think Atlanta's back home. Tampa Bay is starting to disappoint me. I thought Lovie was going to kind of, I know it's going to take a little while, but Lovie's not really getting that team to play like I thought he would. So, for me, that's an easy pick over Atlanta. San Diego and Buffalo. This game was in San Diego. I would probably roll with San Diego. Being that's in Buffalo, Buffalo's playing some balls. So I'm going to pick Buffalo with this one. Tennessee and Cincinnati. Cincinnati at home. Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with Cincinnati. Baltimore and Cleveland, even though Cleveland pulled the game out at home, I don't think they're going to do it again. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think the Ravens found their mojo last Thursday night on offense, so I won't be surprised they're going to Cleveland and take that. I'll take Baltimore. Green Bay going into Detroit. Yeah, Carolina they smacked Detroit around a little bit, but Detroit's at home. Green Bay, even though they beat the Jets, they really just don't seem like they're there yet, so I'm going to take Detroit. Dallas and St. Louis. I would love to take St. Louis in this game, but Dallas, for some reason, man, they found what they should be doing. They just gave the ball up and had Tony Romo just hand the ball off the majority of the game. It's so funny. I was watching some of the games bounce around. They kept showing Tony Romo's stat for whatever reason. I'm not sure. At the bottom of the screen, he was like 4-for-5, 39 yards. Maybe he got hurt, but that's a good thing. They kept handing the ball off, and if they choose to do the same again this week, I'm going to take Dallas to beat St. Louis.
Okay.
Blasphemous.
Yeah, hopefully they don't just do the same thing. Hopefully they don't resort back to Tony Romo swinging all over the place.
Oakland and New England.
I see you just got to this planet. Okay, what's your next pick?
That's true. Jerry Jones will want to get the ball slung around. You're right. But Oakland versus New England, I'm going to take New England. That's not even going to be a game. Yeah, I mean, geez. Minnesota, New Orleans. New Orleans back at home. You know, they'll pull this one out at home. New Orleans. Houston, the Giants. Yeah, Houston's going to take it to us. We're going to go with the Texans. Washington, Philly. That's going to be an interesting game because even though I think Cousins played well, he was up against Jacksonville. But Philly, that offense, when they start cooking, they're cooking real good. So I'm going to take the Eagles. Indianapolis and Jacksonville, I'm going to take the Colts. 49ers, Arizona. Ooh, I think 49ers will bounce back. I'm going to go with the 49ers. Even though I like Arizona, their defense, and I'm not sure if Carson Palmer is going to play. If Carson doesn't play against the 49ers, they won't do the same against the 49ers. I'm going to take the 49ers. Kansas City at Miami. Yeah. That's a game there, but Miami didn't look that good last week. But I'm gonna take Miami just because they're home.
Okay.
And I don't think because they're home. I don't think Kansas City's gonna bring too much. Denver, Seattle. Seattle's back home. The 12th man is gonna make some noise. I think it's gonna be a close game. I'm gonna take Seattle. Take Carolina over the Steelers. And surprisingly, even though Chicago won, I'm going to take the Jets at home against the Bears.
Ooh. My goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man.
Ooh. All right.
I'm leaving that for a reason, gentlemen.
Ice water? Oh, now you're bragging. Now you're bragging. Okay. ice water? What's your picks, man?
Real quick, I'm going to try to get some ground on Thor, so watch your back, bro. Anyway, Atlanta and Tampa Bay, as mentioned before, Atlanta back in the dome, should play well. Atlanta, San Diego, Buffalo, ooh, tough game. Wow, Phillip Rivers showed up last week against Seattle. San Diego, this is not like my man. San Diego. Tennessee,
okay.
And Cincinnati. Bengals showed me a little something, surprised me last week. So Bengals at home. Baltimore,
right.
Cleveland. Cleveland, everybody's excited, but the dream's about to bust again because Baltimore, as he mentioned before, Baltimore's offense did show up. And they're clicking, so Baltimore, Green Bay, and Detroit. Wow, that's a big game, man. Detroit got blew out last week. At home, everybody's feeling good. But I'm going to roll with my man. I'm going to roll with Aaron Rodgers, bro, Green Bay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It doesn't look the best, but he has a way of trying to win ball games. Dallas and St. Louis. I did it last week against my better judgment, but I got a victory. I'm going back. Let's go, Cowboys. Anyway.
Oh, man, Brokeback Mountain. They're getting ready to bend you over, dude. Brokeback Mountain.
They will, but they ain't going to be next week.
They're going to do you wrong, bro. Brokeback Mountain.
They are, but guess what? I'm gonna get out the horse before they catch me. Anyway, Oakland, New England, Raiders have nice helmets, but we're going to go with New England.
They do have nice helmets.
By that, too. New Orleans and Minnesota. New Orleans, I mean, you can't really see them going 0-3. I mean, it could happen, but I'd be surprised. Kind of like I didn't think last week that New England would lose. So going with New Orleans at home. Houston and the Giants, man, that's a tough game. Because I saw a little something from Eli and his guys last week.
You did? What sound were you watching?
I'm telling you. At least it looked like
was he on the sideline when you saw it?
Yeah, I was on the Discovery Channel. Anyway, but I saw a little something. They did move the ball, but the Houston defense is just crazy. And J.J. Watt's playing out his mind, even catching touchdowns now, so who knows what's going on. So I'm going to roll with Houston. Washington and Philadelphia, wow. Cousins is trying to step up, but Philadelphia surprised me last night. They really did. So I'm going to go with Philadelphia at home. Indianapolis, Jacksonville, the Colts. I know Luck is really ticked off that they lost that game. Probably going to come back strong. San Francisco and Arizona, very interesting because the Arizona defense and the special teams were clicking last week. But as you mentioned, if Carson Palmer doesn't play, I'm not sure San Francisco is going to just be taking L's like that the way that they lost to the Bears. They're going to have a little chip on their shoulder. So San Francisco, Kansas City and Miami, wow, that is really a hard game. Not really feeling Kansas City, but Bowles back, I guess, for 15 seconds. We'll see what he does. But Miami, they're so hurt at running back because they just lost their main guy and they had to go out and re-sign Thomas, I think it was, this week too. So not sure if I can put too much trust in them. So Kansas City, Denver and Seattle, I know Peyton's like, oh, we're going to do this. And Omaha, not going to work this week. Going with Seattle because they were ticked off that they lost the way that they did. Pittsburgh, Carolina. Woo! Want to believe in Carolina a little bit.
Huh? Keep your mouth right. Keep your mouth right.
Want to believe Carolina a little bit, but I'm not sure. I am not sure. Wow.
Gnashing of the teeth.
Yeah, that's true. Carolina, forget it. I'm trying to catch Thor. Pittsburgh.
You feel your draw on that one, bro.
Oh, Chicago and the Jets. Oh, wow. I've been riding that Chicago train, but I'm not sure, man. I've been riding with them for days. You know what? Am I going to pull the trigger one more time? I'm going to go with the Jets, man. Wow.
You going with the Jets? Wait a minute. You on the Chicago train. Where you going with the Jets?
I want that to look. Hey, I told you they up and down. I just say every week. Last week was a good week. Today is a new day. That's all I can tell
hey,
you.
Hey, man, just pray, man. You going to let it out like that, just pray. Just put your person out.
All right, man. You know what? I'm going to go with... I know y'all gonna laugh at my picks as always each week, but I'm in it to win it. I was okay. Gonna pick Lovie in Tampa Bay, give Lovie one more chance to get his first win. I gotta go with Atlanta. I'm gonna make some upset specials. I'm gonna go with Buffalo over San Diego. I don't believe in San Diego. I really don't. I think they got a good break against Seattle, and they kind of figured out that you got to go up against Sherman, which they did. Made him look a little silly. He opened his mouth the week before saying he was bored, but they gave him a lot to do last Sunday.
Hey, Puma.
Yeah.
When you next to last, you don't get a chance to give the commentary. You just give your picks and hush.
Anyway, I'm going to give my commentary right and my picks.
You're next to me, and I didn't even pick anybody. So I'll tell you how good your stuff is.
Tennessee and Cincinnati. I'm going to go with Cincinnati there at home, so I'm going to go with Cincinnati. Baltimore, Cleveland. Cleveland at home.
Wow.
Cleveland at home. I've been impressed with how they've been hanging in games, and I'm gonna go with Cleveland at home.
Talk about a penalty. Talk about a penalty changing the game. Anyway,
I'm going with Green Bay over Detroit. Detroit is still the same Detroit to me. Penalties on defense. And the way they call them penalties these days, they'll get up a few. Dallas and St. Louis. Oh, man, this is a heart wrenching right here.
Do it.
Because Dallas always kind of lose against teams like this. But I'm going to go with the boys one more time. Let's go with Dallas.
Oh, damn.
Come on, got a Michael Sam jersey.
The St. Louis one.
And guess what? It's a throwback.
Yeah, it's a throwback. Throwback or a reach around. Anyway, yeah. New England.
Play night.
I'm gonna go with
everybody on the panel.
Yeah, because Puma does not represent the Goon Squad's Sports Radio Show.
exactly.
New England over Oakland. I don't even know if I needed to say that. New Orleans, I think they get off the losing ways, and they're at home. I'm gonna pick the Giants over Houston. Maybe they'll get that offense together. Maybe they get their defense together. And I pick them to upset Houston at home. And I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Washington over Philly. I think Washington, Philly's luck will run out coming back.
Wow. Did you notice that RG3 ain't playing? You notice RG3 ain't playing? Did you notice that?
Yeah, but I like Cousins. I actually like Cousins in that offense better than RG3, to be honest. Indianapolis, Arizona. I'm picking Arizona over San Francisco. Something about San Francisco, they're not figuring it out. Oh, man. Oh, I'm glad you guys are getting so much fun entertainment for my pick.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, go ahead, man. I'm
going to go with Kansas City over Miami.
Next week, Puma, you go first.
Disneyland. Yeah.
Denver over Seattle.
Oh,
I'm going to go Denver over Seattle.
Okay.
Carolina over Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And I'm going with the Jets over Chicago.
Hey, man.
Last.
What are you, Puma? He's 8-24. What are you, Puma? What? I mean, when did you have any losses? I'm just curious.
I'm 17 and 15. Black Thor is 19 and 13. Icewater is 18 and 14, and D is 8 and 24.
Okay.
Yes.
What are you getting? 17 and what now?
I'm 17 and 15.
15.
15 out of 17? You got 15 out of 17, right?
No, I got 17 wins, 15 losses.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right. 2 games above 500.
Not so long. NFL.
Yeah, okay.
You ain't lying.
That's what y'all said last week. And we all tied. That's what y'all said last week.
We're not tied overall. You ain't in the playoffs.
Okay, all right.
It's a long season. I just want to make sure you go first next week, because I'm going to go opposite wherever you go.
I'm going to go first because I'm going to win this week. That's why I'm going first.
Okay.
All right, let's take a break and we'll get to NCAA football. We'll be right back.
I will not.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. 2 hours of comedy, if you're looking at last segment with all the guys laughing at my NFL picks. That's okay. That's okay. I'm still in it. I'm still in it. We're going to talk NCAA football. Yeah, I'm still in it. I'm only 2 games behind you, Black Thor. So, you know, you got to... 2 games, you know,
lonely.
Okay,
all right. That's what it said, not for long.
You're probably the only one that got NFL ticket on Lifetime Channel with those
kids. Anywho, let's look at some NCAA football. What was, from the eye test, what did you guys see last week? What game stood out for you in football?
Wow.
Let's go with Ice Water.
Well, I mean, you look at, I think the closeness of a lot of the games kind of like got to me a little bit, trying to look at things and trying to see who did what. I think that, again, well, even when you just try to find out, like we talked earlier about Virginia Tech, and they beat Ohio State, and they came up and everybody's like, oh, they're ready, and then they end up losing a game the way that they did, even though they came back. It just kind of shows you that you never know how things are going to go. And the teams are so desperate right now to win that because of the playoff situation, a lot of teams are a little bit nervous and scared. I was really impressed by the Georgia-South Carolina game.
Oh, yeah, that was a good game.
That was a really good matchup. And South Carolina shows you that even though they took that loss earlier in the season, that they were fighting back. So now Georgia's going to try to find their way back. Still somewhat impressed by Texas A&M. I want to see what they do coming up. I think a lot of people got fooled by USC. USC stepped up to the mic and got popped by Boston College. So they were ninth in the nation. So I think a lot of people had them rolling along for a while, and they got popped. Still do not believe, even though they show them on their own network, by Notre Dame. Not impressed by Notre Dame, even though they won. I want to see them play somebody. And just because they blew out Michigan doesn't mean you play somebody. The same thing can be said about UCLA. I know I'm going to catch heck from that because somebody loves UCLA over here. But I need to see more. I need to see more. And I think, I really do think that this season – the teams are a lot closer than what we think, and that's why you saw a team like Virginia was able to get popped by Louisville was able to get popped by a team like Virginia. So it's going to be a
Do you think West Virginia was kind of looking past their opponent last week because they got Oklahoma this week and they're number 4?
Maybe. I mean, but you never know. I mean, it's like anything else. These teams they're showing you that everybody, for the most part, can play. So you can't take anything for granted. I mean, what was it? Was it Monique State a couple weeks ago we saw?
Yeah.
They put a fight.
Yeah.
So you just never know. I mean, there are a lot of talented athletes that don't get to go to the big schools. And if a team comes in overconfident, they can get popped. I mean, unless you're playing, no disrespect, Florida A&M, then it is what it is. Because we come for the band. But the whole point is, though, you just have to really see for what it is. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think, and there might be a couple losses under the belt of some of these college teams.
Okay. Let's go with the Django. I test, what are some of the games that stood out to you? I know you were in the LA game with Texas. Texas was giving them all they can handle.
Yeah. I think that the games, like I said, I agree with the Georgia – the Georgia game. I thought that Georgia and South Carolina game was a good game. I think it's kind of the thing is that's so funny about college sports, man, is you get so accustomed to and we get so used to the name on the front of the jersey and what their history and their pedigree is that we have some expectations that are unrealistic, you know, because it's all about the how long the name has been on the back of the jersey. How long they stayed in that program. So, you know, like we was talking about with East Carolina playing, what's called this weekend, Virginia Tech. East Carolina has some, you know, they have some seasoned guys on the offense. Now, the defense is not that seasoned, but on the offense they are. So it's just that you like you said, when you hear about these players, they come from these small, you know, they're from these small schools and they didn't get a lot of notoriety coming out of school, high school, and they hit these colleges. And since they didn't get the exposure and all that, you know, the limelight, they stayed with that program for a long time. And you're starting to see a little bit more of that now in football than you do in basketball. But I think that's where it is. I think that's what you're seeing. I think it's part – so I think that's a subset of that, as well as, like you said, the talent level is starting to get so, you know, spread out. So it's starting to become very competitive. So I'd say that game stood out to me. I thought the Boston College-USC game was a competitive one for the most part. I'm going to say that was pretty much the most of the brunt of it. I would have to say that that Georgia Southern Doug Georgia Tech game, Georgia Tech barely pulled that out,
yeah,
which I thought was interesting. I thought about that one. That was another one that was real tight. Other than that, I don't think it was anything that, you know, I was that surprised about. Everything was pretty much competitive. Penn State and Rutgers, yeah, okay, who cares? 13-10. Well, that's about it.
Okay. Latour.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see the Georgia-South Carolina game, but I saw the highlights, and I was impressed because I didn't expect that game to be a high-scoring game. I kind of actually thought Georgia was going to win that game, but South Carolina stood up and they did their work. They did some work, so they're not too far away. And there were some close games. I agree with Icewood. I look at Notre Dame and I go, here we go again. Here we go. I mean, they might just find a way. I wouldn't be surprised. They find a way. We're not playing anyone. When it gets down to the nitty-gritty, they're not going to be too far away. USC surprised me because I really kind of thought they were going to take care of Boston College. But I don't know if that was a letdown they had, or I watched that week against Stanford, and they just, against BC, they did not look that good. But some of these games, they're tighter than I thought. I'm still waiting for the week when we have some real good head-to-head battles with some of the more ranked schools, but that may be for a while. I'm not sure, but outside of that, I still have to say the play has been impressive, very impressive.
Yeah. I was really impressed with BYU. I had a chance to see them, and I was really kind of impressed with BYU. They're ranked number 21 right now. I was a little impressed with them. Again, Notre Dame, they're gonna keep pushing them up until they get into that number 6, number 5, and then what usually happens, one of those top 4 teams will lose, and they'll put Notre Dame right in the top 4 in the playoffs. Maybe because they feel that Notre Dame fans will follow them anywhere they go. It brings more money. It brings kind of more tradition to the – I don't know, but I'm not really surprised. I hope that they play Michigan State and Michigan State gets them. But we talked about this earlier on in past shows. Some of the marquee games that are coming up this week is Auburn and K-State at K-State. That should be a good one. You have, of course, Clemson and Florida State, which everybody thought that Louisville would kind of take over the ACC, but they fell. And so Florida State looks like they're in the driver's seat in the ACC. And I don't think that was any question about that, but some folks were kind of looking at Louisville and how they beat Miami and thought that they would be the toast of the ACC coming in playing their first year. And I didn't think so. You have Alabama and Florida, and they're playing at Alabama. And that's a marquee game that folks are looking at. Also, you have University of Miami against Nebraska, and we mentioned earlier about Oklahoma and West Virginia, which I think will be a good game. And I wouldn't be surprised if West Virginia was overlooking their opponent last week to try to get to Oklahoma because they knew Oklahoma was one of those teams that were ranked in the top 4 and looking ahead to them, which happens sometimes. These are kids playing football. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that, and they probably will bounce back, hopefully. They will bounce back. And I think there, West Virginia is playing at home, I believe, against Oklahoma. So that should be a good game to watch. Florida State still in the driver's seat. Another game to watch for is number 2, Oregon. Oregon has kind of gotten replaced Alabama at number 2, and they're playing Washington State. And so that is a Pac-10 game that, you know, anything can happen in the Pac-10. So those are some great games that we'll be looking forward to this weekend. And I'm kind of loving football season, but I have to agree with Ice Water from last week. I'm looking forward to basketball season, especially college basketball season. I love football, but it's nothing like having football and basketball season at the same time. Any other thoughts?
That's about it on that.
Okay. All right. Now, what's that?
No, I was just messing. Go ahead, man.
Okay. Send you guys a list, and ESPN is doing a ranking of NBA players from 1 to 500. And so I sent you, I guess they're releasing them a 100 at a time, I think. And I sent you guys 400 to 500. And some of these guys, I do not even recognize on a list, or I even thought that they were playing in the NBA anymore. Some of the guys that are noted is Andrew Bynum is 460. And how much does he make a year?
He's 460 pounds or he's 460 days?
He's ranked 460 out of 500.
Oh.
The top ranked 500 players in the NBA. And he's making a lot of money. He was supposed to be, somebody was saying, maybe a couple of years ago, he was the best big man in the NBA.
Man, nobody said that, man. Nobody said that, Joe.
Am I making this up? I didn't hear Shaq or somebody on some of these professionals saying that Andrew Bynum was like one of the top five centers in the NBA.
No, man, don't waste your airtime with that right there. No. Don't waste your time with that one.
He's been to, what, three teams in 2 years? I mean, he hasn't played.
Come on,
though. He gets mad, he walks away. I mean,
when he was rolling with the Lakers, he was a very coveted player.
But that was then. We're talking about right now, though. He waits to Cleveland's time.
Dude, let it go.
Okay.
No. No. There's no way. No. What if he
said
that?
That's what I heard.
Let me ask you a question. If you can't get motivated to make a playoff run the way the Indiana Pacers did, you can't get motivated in that camp to maybe run for a championship.
Okay.
If you step up to your potential, then you're done. You are simply done.
Yeah,
okay.
Man, it's bubblegum.
That's
okay.
Kind of Miami Heat passed on him. They didn't want to deal
okay.
with that. He's an headache.
Okay. The Miami Heat passed on him. But Greg Oden is 480. Not in years, but he's ranked 480.
He looked like he's 480.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you want to catch him on Twitter, his handle name is @DaddyLove2250. Daddy Love. That reminds me of somebody else's email address, Brown Kiss, which I refuse to this day to email anybody at Brown Kiss. You know who I'm talking about.
Is it a dude? That's all I want to know. Does the person just set it up?
I'll leave that alone. He knows who he is on this panel.
Wow.
Jason Collins is ranked 474. Let me see, who else is on this list? I don't recognize a lot of these folks on this list, which tells me that a lot of these guys should have stayed in college.
Yeah.
They're playing for teams, nobody recognizes them, and they should have stayed in college. Let me see who else I can pick on this list here that I can pick out. We got Jason Collins. Jeremy Tyler, you have Nazee Muhammad, who plays for the Bulls. He's at 415. Keith Bogan, who plays for the Celtics, he's at 462. Of course, we talked about Andrew Bynum. Shannon Brown plays for the Miami Heat. 406. Antoine Jamison, he has gone down to 402. And he's a free agent.
Wow.
So my question is when will the NBA wake up and decide that, you know what, we're really taking these players and we're paying them a lot of money, so why don't we do the same thing that NCAA football is doing and waiting until after their junior year to be eligible to play for the NBA? So let me get your thoughts, Ice Water. Let me go with DeJango, and then I'll go with Black Thor on that.
Well, I mean, we talked about this before, I think, in one of the earlier broadcasts, and I still come down to the same conclusion that I agree with you that they should have them wait at least 2 years. I say at least 2 years. I won't know. I won't say three. I say at least 2 years to go pro. And that's really because it's not for the superstars. I know we had this discussion before. It's not for the superstars, but it's for the guys that really don't know whether or not they're going to make it. Because the superstars are going to get their money. I know people say, well, they deserve to go pro. They can go pro when they want to. Yeah, they can. But, again, I bring it back to the whole point of this conversation earlier tonight is this is an association. They determine what they want to do. They determine their rules. The thing is not to say you can't play professionally, but you have to go overseas to do it and make your money. They make good money overseas, by the way, as well, too. So I would like to see the NBA at least go to 2 years or 2 years removed from college. Hopefully we'll get some better players. And like I said, you know, everybody believes, a lot of guys are being told that they're good enough to play, and Uncle Mook Mook told you can play doesn't mean you can play. You have to understand that it takes a lot to go to the next level, and not only unless you're a superstar, you have to learn that the right place, right time, right situation, and talent goes a long way. It's the reason why a guy like Aaron Craft, who's considered a solid point guard on the college level, but he can't shoot a jumper. Only thing you do go to the hole. The only reason why he's even being considered for a team right now is because a guy like Steve Kerr, who kind of, even though he wasn't a shooter, but he's a scrappy kind of guy, is keeping him around. And somebody either has to like you. So when you get to the talent level, you realize that a lot of these guys, everybody's so enamored with this dream to play in the NBA that they lose perspective that you can go overseas and make a nice living on six figures. I know a lot of guys that have done it, but everybody wants to be in the NFL. But if I can make, $2-3 million over in France, and they're going to pay me $1 million just to come overseas so I can just say I play in the NFL, in the NBA, and I don't know, you do the math. Plus you get car, and usually you get housing allowances, so, and usually free taxes. So I stay overseas, but that's just me.
Okay. DeJango.
Hey, skip me. Hey, come back to me, man, because I just got distracted on something I need to take care of right here.
Okay. Black Thor. Black Thor, are you there?
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm here. Sorry about that. Yep, I'm here. I also believe that the NBA should extend, you know, go to 2 or 3 years, but I don't see them doing it anytime soon, only because even though these players come out after a year, there's so much hype that's behind these players when they, you know, they're in college that year. And I think the NBA themselves love the hype that it brings to the draft every season. Because if you compare the NBA draft to the NFL draft, and I know we probably don't, but there's not that much fanfare around the NBA draft compared to the NFL draft. So I think the NBA likes to get a little bit of a little spice going on with the draft, and they know some of these players aren't going to pan out. They know already. They clearly know. But if you make these players play another 2 or 3 years, their draft is going to be less appealing. So I think they really want to keep the excitement in the hype of going of these young players that are coming in and feed off of that. So I don't see them actually doing anything about it. I just don't. Not anytime soon. I really don't. I think in the long run it'll benefit the league with the style of play, but I don't think they're thinking in that term. I think they still like the excitement that it generates of these 1 year players, and because for the ones that don't make it, you look at the ones that do make it, like a Derrick Rose, like the rest of them that come out and they do make it. he's carrying excitement, whether he's playing or not, and the NBA is feeding off that. So it's hard for them to kind of just say, you know what, let's let them stay in college for 3 years. No, they want that excitement, which generates and turns into revenue. They want that right now. Yeah,
right.
That's what they want.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, Django, you ready?
He hit it on the head, because that's what I was about to say. Because, again, you know, the thing we I know we talked about this in a previous discussion a couple of weeks back. Well, it's all about entertainment, man. It's about what the revenue associated with that entertainment. And like you said, I want that money now. And I think that's what it is. The NBA is, again, it's not what, you know, it's not the same level of what we used to seeing in the sport. How the sport starts out is it's good fundamentals, and you're seeing kids who can shoot and all this stuff like that. But now, again, they're looking at the average tenure of a NBA player. So they're thinking, hey, man, by the time this guy comes in, matures, gets injury and gets some type of scandal or whatever the case, and starts to retire and his skills are diminished, we're talking about if they do an average, it's somewhere around 4 or 5 years. There's very few NBA players who stay in the limelight, stay on top more than that. You know, now we might argue that because we know the ones that are very well who have, you know, exceeded that average. But for the most part, it's about 4 or 5 seasons. That's it. So they already know they're going to have to replenish and purge and replenish. So that's what they bring in cats in based on that. That's all. They already know these cats ain't going to be no lifers like a Tim Duncan. You won't see that stuff anymore. You won't see that. Kobe. As the way things are going now, it's about supply and demand. That's it. And how can we manipulate the public and make the most money we can make off these cats right now, because we know they're not going to be in the league that long. We're going to be shipping them out and adding new commodities as they're going out the door. So I don't think it's ever going to be
okay. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And I agree with all of you. But here's my thing. I'm looking at this list. I'm looking at guys I've never even heard of in college, let alone on a pro team. And I got to a point, and I think I've shared this with a few of you, that I would rather watch a college game at this point than an NBA game. Because I get more out of a college game. The games are more exciting. Even though these guys aren't at that pro level, they're playing at a level where the games are competitive and you see some kind of effort, or these guys are hungry and trying to win and trying to make it to March Madness. And I have said this, and I've heard, and I remember hearing Charles Barkley say this, is that, and he said it a few times, the NBA sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah.
And maybe these younger guys, but let me finish. Maybe the younger generation think it's okay. But for us, we've seen the NBA better. We've seen better shooting. We've seen better games. We've seen it where it was vice versa. You'd rather watch an NBA game I would rather watch an NBA game back in the day rather than a college game. But it has changed so much over the years where if there is a choice between watching the game on TNT or watching the game, an NBA game, and I see a college game, it doesn't even have to be a marquee matchup. I get more out of the college game. And that's why I'm really kind of proposing to put these guys, do the same thing you do in football, keep them in for 2 or 3 years. I know we talk about paying guys, paying them some kind of stipend to play because they are employees of the university, whether they like it or not. But my thing is that when you keep letting these guys get in the game, they're watering down the game to the point where the NBA is not worth watching, and they keep raising these ticket prices like it's the greatest show on earth, and it's not. And it's really kind of it's a watered-down version of basketball, which I really don't care to watch anymore unless you're in the playoffs, unless you're in the World Championship. That's the only time I kind of pull into the NBA. When after March Madness is over with, that's when I pay attention to the NBA.
Well, Puma, I agree with your point, other than the point you bring Charles Barkley into the mix. But I'll say this to you, though. And I agree. I it's watered down. But if you look around, when the season starts this year, look at some of these teams that are not good teams, the Minnesota, these other teams that aren't good teams, and look at their stands. There's people paying for those seats, man. And which is
right.
The same thing. I'm a Knicks fan, and I won't go to a Knicks game, but Knicks sell
right.
out. Knicks been selling out for
right.
years and putting
right.
junk on the floor, absolute junk. And somehow these people will pay to go sit, watch this junk. So my point in saying that is that as long as they're making money and the TV revenue is coming in, they don't care. They don't care. They don't care about what we grew up watching. Same thing with Charles Barkley. Saying, and I'm not saying he doesn't have a valid point, but as long as they're sitting in the seat, now if it was like the WNBA where nobody's coming to the game, now you're talking. But as long as these people are paying to go in Toronto and watch these games, Toronto's, I mean, it's a decent team, but as long as people are coming out supporting them, they're buying the jerseys, why would you change it? Why would you care? Because you're still, how much
right.
more money are you going to make? How much more money are you going to make if you say
right.
these players stay in 2 months? And that's what it comes down to. And we
yeah.
just suffer through it. That's what it comes down to.
So it's just the fact that you know, it's that whole, you know, you're older now. When you was a child, you thought as a child, but now you're mature. I mean, I think that's what it is all about. And again, you got generations behind us. They're doing the same thing we were doing when we were their age. We can say, well, the game was better than it was before, quality, but they don't have that to compare it to. All they know is based on what they had to find that they see now on TV and when they go to the game. So that's what I'm saying. Your point is valid. I remember when my dad and my uncles and them started talking about, we was talking about this player and that player, no matter what the sport is, they go, he wasn't so-and-so, he couldn't hold blah, 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 or he couldn't mess with Jack Dempsey and Russell. Blah. I mean, just some old athletes and Bill Russell and nothing was going to do with them motherfucking odds.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I know
Jack Dempsey played in the NBA.
I was using different sports for my point.
I know.
But my point I'm saying is, I'm serious, man. It's just that you've gotten older and you see it for what it is now. That's it. I would have never been able to, if you'd asked me 15 years ago to even factor in and look at it from a business perspective, I'd be like, what business? You talking about the shoes? You talking about the jersey? But if you put yourself in a place from an owner's perspective, you can just imagine that for a minute. It's about the generations that come behind that's naive, that you're selling this particular athlete or this particular shoe or this particular jersey off of. That's what it is. They're putting it on TV. Some kids are watching it, and they caught up in it. It's like we were caught up in it. It ain't no different. Nothing new under the sun. It ain't going to change. Until people are not coming to those stadiums. I remember I was talking to my cousin about this, and we always had a debate about it. I'm going, well, if they were losing money, I guarantee you wouldn't see them expanding the league and adding more teams. You would see people begging to be owners to put a franchise in the league. They were losing money. Obviously, there's some profit being made somewhere. And that's
okay.
What I think it is.
All right. Well, I'm looking at this list, and I'm just really disappointed because we saw this coming a long time, and you guys are right that they are making money. But as for a person who loves watching the game and loves, you know, just appreciating good basketball, it's really kind of hard to watch. And sometimes you get to a point where you only watch the fourth quarter in NBA games because that's when the guys really start
mm-hmm.
to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I'd rather watch the whole game, but you get bored with the up and down, and maybe a team blowing a team out, and then all of a sudden 5 minutes left in the game, that's when they decide to play. And I would hate to be a fan sometimes in the stand just kind of having to sit there because I paid my ticket and watch this and go, you know what, this is not what I paid for. I think
yeah.
I deserve more than this. So,
When you think, and just to chime in, just to interrupt, but you think about it from a pro athlete's perspective for a minute, 82 games a season. 82. Do you think I'm going to come out here every freaking night and lay my heart out here on the court? What I'm going to do is I'm going to play enough ball, and you can see it when you get older, and I make clear
I can see this clear. What you're doing is you're just trying to keep yourself in good standards to where you can get a decent, a good seed in the playoffs. Then you start playing ball because that's where you make your money. That's where you're going to make your mark. That's where you're going to get your, you know, all your accolades based on how you perform there. There isn't more, like I said, we said before, there isn't more Chicago Bulls that go 72-10. You're not going to see that anymore because people understand the business side of things. Those cats, you know, these cats now, they're just trying to, you know, just, you know, gauge themselves and, you know, until they get to the playoffs, like you said, then they're going to play some ball. Or they're going to gauge the game, they're going to play a little sloppy ball here because they know it's entertaining to sell the popcorn, sell the programs and all this other stuff. And then in the fourth quarter, we're going to play some ball to pull the game on out so we can get a W and win it out in the win column. The game to win. That's it. It's
okay.
Cookie cutter for the most part.
All right. We got about 8 minutes left in the show, and I'm going to go to the portion of the show where we call parting shots, where I give each one of the hosts a little bit of time to sound off on anything you want to sound off on sports. So since Ice Water's been quiet over there, I'm going to give you your first shot as a parting shot and what you want to leave the listeners thinking about when we end this show.
Well, I just say real quick, and we talked about this earlier, I just hope the point came up. I just hope that people understand what all of the things that are going on with these athletes now and in the professional leagues, that they start to look at these athletes as people and quit putting them on that pedestal and realize that people do make mistakes. It doesn't make an excuse for them. But if we start to do more of that, we would start to understand that there are more important things in life and more better role models or better people to that we should be looking towards that spend more time with our children. So the whole point of it is it's great to cheer people, it's great to buy jerseys, it's great to be excited about sports, but at the same time you have to put it in perspective. And at the end of the day, while we have so many people outraged by the conduct of these athletes, it's important for people to start looking in the mirror, even at their own homes, to decide perhaps maybe they should be the role models their kids need instead of going outside looking for somebody else to kind of feel good about their child can feel good about. Why not bother about their dad who works every day or and does some great things at the home? That's where it should start, and I think we've got away from that, and we need to get back to that.
Okay. All right. Good point. Black Thor, your thoughts?
Well, you left me speechless with that one, man, because those are some very good points. Yeah, very, very good point. I guess I'm going to go back to something I said earlier, and it's that I realize money doesn't make you smarter. It doesn't do a lot. But I just want to see our athletes just take a little more personal responsibility just for themselves. That's all. I would just love to see that they take a little more responsibility, a little more care, a little more nurturing of themselves, just themselves to kind of upgrade themselves to make themselves better. And that would be something I would just love to see. You know, just not because, you know, you have all this, you're balling, you have the money. I know most of the time throughout the course of your life, you've been spoiled, you've been cuddled, you've been carried to this point. But once you get there, start to work on you some. Make you a better person. Make yourself a better man, a better woman. Really. I mean, and that I would love to see.
Okay. All right, Django.
I agree. I think we have a lot of, at the same time, and I'm always, you know, kind of look at the different perspective on it. But I say that we have a lot of athletes who are doing the right thing. I think sometimes when we have an issue that something that happens, they blow it up, and you start to set the precedence that there's an issue or we have this epidemic. And I don't think it is. I think that you have a lot of – you think about the number of athletes you have in professional sports. And when one does something wrong, that's the thing that sells. That's the thing that captures your attention. That's the thing that sticks in your mind. The ones who are doing the right things, you know, they don't talk about them. Like, heck, I didn't realize some of the stuff that Adrian Peterson did that was beneficial to his community prior to this issue. And it's funny how they don't talk about that. They just set the precedence that he's abused child, and there's another case that they have. And I'm always, that's always cut to me. I'm going, where was that story at?
And I like the one about the my man hit his wife in the elevator. That story, they had that information 2 months ago. 2 months ago. So why are you bringing it up now? You know, it's just, that's what I'm saying. I think that, and I agree with what my man said earlier, too, about, you know, it's just starting the home. In order for it to start in the home, we have to check, I think we as a culture, and this will say African Americans, we have to check ourselves, because the reason why they're looking to athletes as role models because we're missing in the home. That's the other part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I think. We're missing in our home if I teach them because we don't, you know, for whatever circumstances. So I agree with all of you. I agree with both of you. I just think that we just need to make sure that we're looking at it from a perspective on the positive as well as the negative to base your assessment on.
Okay. I'm going to go a different direction, and I'm going to propose one NFL rule change. And that rule change would be that a team, once a game, if the kicker on a kickoff can kick the ball through the uprights, they give 3 points for that. They don't get the ball back. They give 3 points for that. Once a game. They can't do it every kickoff. But once a game, they can kick a ball. If they can kick off the ball and kick it through the uprights, they get 3 points. Only one time a game. And they can do it anytime they want. But that's what I propose. If we have to have kickers, make them more useful, okay? Because you guys got on me when I said, let's get rid of kickers. Let's make them more useful.
Oh.
That will jack up the fantasy football numbers and all this other stuff.
I never knew you had a serious problem with yourself. Go, bro. I never knew.
You must got run up by a kicker when you play peewee football.
Exactly.
Useful.
Hey, man, but I'm going to say this, too. Hey, man, next time you don't let us know that we're supposed to be drinking during this call. You didn't share that with us. You didn't tell us we're supposed to be drinking.
Well, I'll put that in the memo. I'll put that in the memo next time. All right, if that's going to do it for our show this week, we'll come back and do it again next week. Later.
Oh, man.